morning. Good to have you here, Evan Bray, on a Wednesday morning, and a nice one at that. The province, most of the province coated in sunshine today, which is nice to see, and fairly warm. Even yesterday, you know, warm day. These are the days you're leaving the house in the morning and you've had the furnace on because it dipped down. It was cold at night. You come home after work, you're like, oh my gosh, it's hot in here. We're going through that phase right now, but it is definitely a nice day today and great for farmers that are finishing up the last little bit of crop in the field. Speaking of that, when I was back home a couple of weeks ago, it was pretty typical that we'd get together with a few people in the morning for a cup of coffee before it was dry enough that you could get out in the field. So 7:30, 8 o'clock, you're having a coffee. By 9:30, things are getting going for harvest. And in those conversations, it was interesting to me. It happened more than once where we would talk about just the changing nature of farming, the business of farming. Of course, we talked about canola tariffs and those types of things, but it was surprising to me, and I was happy to be there just as an observer and a listener, listening to friends of mine, farmers in the area, talking about the nature of how land prices have really changed the dynamics of farming. In a variety of different ways. I mean, number one, high land prices for someone who is deciding to retire and sell the farm. Obviously, who would argue with that? That's great. I mean, that's the retirement, right? That's the nest egg. You've made that investment. But in the conversations we were having, many were saying, you know, it's changed the way, if it's a family farm, changed the way agreements are written up between one generation to the next, if the farm is going to be handed down, if it's an inheritance versus if, you know, one person wants to get out of farming, the son, the daughter is getting into it. Do you sell the farm? And if so, what's that price look like? It was a fascinating conversation for me to listen to. And it all surrounds the topic of land prices. I was looking this morning. So Farm Credit Canada has historical farmland values that they put together in a report. And they measure it in per hectare, but in 1996, prices in West Central Saskatchewan were $980 per hectare on average, 96. Last year, the same hectare of land, $7,400. Just in excess, actually, of $7,400. So, I mean, it's a big difference. It's a big change over the last number of years. What is driving this? What impact does it have on communities, on the future of farming in our province? I'm happy to bring to the program Andre Megnan, who is a University of Regina professor in the Department of Sociology and Social Studies, and I'm glad to have Professor Megnan with us today. Thank you, Professor, for taking the call.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So I just set it up there with a bit of a synopsis, and these were just, you know, unprompted conversations over a cup of coffee with a couple of young farmers that I had a couple of weeks ago. But land prices, definitely we're seeing them grow in the province, and it's having an impact. Can you just give some general thoughts and comments as we get into this discussion?
Well, I'm not at all surprised that that's the kind of thing that you're hearing on Coffee Row, talking to farmers. Yeah, certainly farmland prices in Saskatchewan have been going up very, very steadily in the last almost 20 years. Some years we've seen double-digit gains, so you know, more than steadily, actually going up very rapidly. And FCC just put out a sort of mid-year report not so long ago suggesting that already in the first 6 months of this year, farmland values in Saskatchewan have gone up by 6%. So, you know, if that trend continued, we'd be on track for about a 12% increase, which is not too different from the previous year, which was 13%. So those are actually, you know, really substantial increases year over year, and it's definitely going to be changing some of the economics of farmland on the ground, and arguably some of the social dynamics around owning farmland and renting farmland, who owns how much farmland, and those sorts of things.
Do we ever see prices trending down? Is farmland seriously different than, for example, a housing market?
It's a great question. In the last 20 years, we have not seen it trend down year over year in any specific year. I think, you know, the sort of lowest we've gotten is maybe in the 3-5% increase range, and in other years, I think it was around 2014, we were I think at about a 20% year over year increase. So I would say that in the last 20 years, it's been on a bit of a tear. Historically, there were moments, you know, when the farm economy was depressed in the 80s, 90s, when we struggled with some pretty severe drought conditions in the early 2000s. There was there were certainly some years where farmland values went down, or they were, you know, very, very flat. So I would say that, you know, there are these sort of long-term cycles that we seem to be seeing in the way that farmland values move up and down.
Andre Magnan is my guest, University of Regina professor, Department of Sociology and Social Studies. One of the people that I was referring to that I was chatting with a couple of weeks ago is a young farmer taking over his father's farm. His father's farm, quite humble, I would say, in terms of size. And this young fellow's wanting to grow it and was talking about the stress and pressure of just going to the bank to secure the funds to buy, for example, another section of land. Have you got thoughts on the impact that this is having on young farmers in Canada?
I think it's a real challenge for a lot of young farmers. As you suggest, the upfront cost of acquiring a new parcel of land is really, really high. You have to very often look at some financing. A few years ago, interest rates were really low, so that maybe facilitated things a bit, but now interest rates are at a more kind of moderate level. So I think that that poses another challenge. I also think about those people who aren't necessarily inheriting land but are interested in agriculture and they want to try and get a foothold in the industry. I think that's a really, really tough proposition nowadays with the way that farmland prices have gone.
We know that there are, in our province and across Canada, a number of what I'm going to call larger institutions. You can have a very large family farm, but you can also have institutions running businesses, running farms, wouldn't be family operated. What impact does that have on the market?
Yeah, you've pointed out something really interesting, which is that in the last, I would say, 15 or 20 years, again, we have seen some really large corporate-owned farms emerge. In some of my research, I refer to them as mega farms, and I have set a somewhat arbitrary kind of threshold of 30,000 acres and larger in Saskatchewan for what I'll call a mega farm. So nowadays, yeah, we do have a few of these really, really big players. They are very much expansion and growth oriented, so they are looking to accumulate more land. This is one of the things I've been tracking with my research. I think that in local areas, they're becoming you know, serious competitors for others who might want to buy land when a parcel comes up for sale. So I do worry a little bit about the effects on the ground in some of these regions where one of these big players is operating. You know, how do you compete against that really, really large operator? I think is a good question for some of the smaller players. And I think that's one of the things that we don't want to see is kind of anti-competitive effects at the local level in different land markets around the province.
Andre Magnan is my guest, University of Regina professor. What would you say is driving land prices?
It's a complicated question, but there are, you know, a number of factors for sure. Part of it is sort of the fundamentals of the farm economy. You know, we know that there's increased demand for food for food globally. There's pressure on farmland resources around the globe as well. We can't make more farmland, and even, you know, the amount of forest or other types of land that can be converted to agriculture is pretty limited. So with a limited supply of farmland and growing demand for food around the world, you can expect that farmland values will increase. I think that's a big part of the story. Depending on the year, of course, things like commodity prices will have an influence on farmland prices as well. And then, of course, demand for farmland. And again, I'd go back the big mega farmers, but also, you know, regular growth-oriented family farmers are interested in expanding very often. That's going to put pressure on farmland prices. And another factor that we haven't yet talked about is the role of investor farmland owners. So these would be, you know, corporations or institutions, sometimes just wealthy individuals, who want to buy farmland as a financial asset, meaning they want to buy farmland because they're predicting the price will continue to go up. In the meantime, they can rent out that land and they can earn some income from it. And so they're doing this as an investment prospect. And in the last 20 years, we've seen a number of pretty major players doing this sort of thing in Saskatchewan.
So on that note, Andre, there's actually a couple of people on the text line, very, of course, as you would imagine, very interested in this conversation. When you think about farmland as an investment, there's been a lot of talk about foreign money coming in on these mega farms. Number one, are you seeing that or do you have evidence of that? And number two, what's the impact? What are the implications of that?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's foreign money. We have quite good legislation in Saskatchewan that makes it next to impossible for non-Canadians to buy, other than a very, very small amount of farmland. So our rules say that non-Canadians and non-Canadian corporations are not allowed to buy significant amounts of farmland. So these investors are backed by Canadian money. One of the really well-known investors is Robert Angelic. He made a pile of money in a different industry years ago and then decided in the kind of early to mid-2000s that farmland would be a good investment opportunity, and he's been steadily accumulating land. He's up at around, 230,000+ acres right now. Again, Canadian businessman. We've got corporations like Avenue Living is a Canadian-owned real estate investor. They mostly own apartment blocks and residential real estate, but they in the last few years have been investing in farmland, and now they own about 80,000 acres. So, mm-hmm. It's these types of entities, Canadian money, that saw an opportunity. Back when farmland prices were a lot lower, and have been accumulating land over a number of years now, 10, 15 years plus. Some of them have divested in the meantime and I think made a very healthy return on that investment.
We're running short on time, Professor, but I want to talk about the fact that obviously farmland prices and the fact that they are growing at the rate that they are, this is not an all bad news story. And I don't want to for a second paint it as such. Yes, it causes some challenge for young farmers. Yes, maybe it changes the structure of how a family farm is either handed down or what the business model looks like. But ultimately, this means investments have grown for people in our province that have invested in agriculture and in their land. Can you talk about the impact that farmland prices, growth, and the change to agriculture that it brings is having on communities?
Sure. You make a good point about rising farmland values being beneficial to farmers who are, have been in the industry for a long time, are looking to retire. I think that's really an important point. I think one of the worries, as a sociologist that I have about the impact on communities is the way in which ownership is being transferred outside of the community in a lot of cases. And in the case of these investors, maybe to Toronto or Calgary or somewhere else as well. So, it's one thing if all that farmland is owned by local people, local families and farmers, and then, of course, yes, we would say that increasing value is increasing the wealth of those people. But when ownership is more and more concentrated in the hands of distant investors or big corporations, I think that's a slightly different story.
Mm-hmm. This has been a great chat. I trust we can have you back because I feel like there's lots more we could talk about here, Professor. Thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Andre Magnan, who is a professor at the University of Regina, the Department of Sociology and Social Studies. A good conversation on the price of farmland, the increasing cost that comes with it, and what some of the implications are for farmers, for farm families, for communities. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.